Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today. Encourage us, be with us, and help us be more with you. Lord, we pray that you would open up our ears that we might hear you anew. Open up our minds that we might understand more. Open up our lives and our souls that we may be changed. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. As we begin today, I thought I'd just start with a question. How do you walk? And I know some of you are thinking, not as well as I used to. But more generally, are you a fast walker, a slow walker? Or do you take long strides or short strides? Would it be more pigeon-toed or duck-footed or bow-legged? Have you become a little bit more wobbly in your walking, or are you short-footed? Do you walk with more of a march, more of a dance, more of a skip, more of a strut, more of a stroll? Maybe you are one of those walkers that can relate to Monty Python's old skit about the Ministry of Silly Walks. Maybe that's how you walk. Maybe you walk the line. Maybe you walk on by. Maybe you walk this way. Maybe you walk like an Egyptian. Maybe you would walk 500 miles and walk 500 more. Or maybe that's the problem, is that we don't walk through life anymore because we're always running. We're only running. I wonder what it would look like if we were to learn to walk again. I wonder if we would be able to learn to walk instead of run. I wonder if we'd notice more. I wonder if we would think and feel more clearly. I wonder if we would know others and be known by others better. I wonder if we'd experience more of God, if we could learn to walk again instead of always simply running. To say it maybe another way and ask the question maybe another way, I wonder what our lives would look like if we walked more like Jesus walked. Tomorrow, as a church, we begin our reading through the New Testament in our Bible 2025 program. And this will take us all the way to the end of the year. We're going to slow down a little bit, and we're going to spend the next several weeks in our readings walking with Jesus, observing him as he walks, and hopefully following where he leads. As we read, my hope is that we will be able to compare his way of walking through the world with our way of walking through the world, and then maybe starting to bridge the gap between the two so that we might learn to walk more like he walks. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but first let me just kind of tell you where we're walking, where we're heading. Because more than just how Jesus walks, our real goal this fall is, especially in this new sermon series, is to take a deeper look at our relationship with Jesus as we approach the New Testament. What's our proximity to Jesus? What's our orientation in regards to Jesus? And this will be particularly timely as we read about his life and his ministry. I think too often we settle for kind of a caricature of Jesus that still allows us to be and do whatever we want without being sufficiently challenged or chastened by his example. I think sometimes we kind of settle for Jesus was a great teacher, a loving Savior, always and only forgiving, who lived a long time ago. And then we can, from that, mistakenly conclude that therefore we can live kind of any way we want because he doesn't really care. He has to forgive. And therefore, we can do whatever we want. And I don't know that that's quite the way that works. My suspicion, though, is that that's not who we're going to find him to be. More than that, over the past however many years or so, the contemporary church has really kind of locked into this image of Jesus being in our hearts, which is fair enough biblically, but it's not actually the prevailing metaphor found all throughout the scriptures. In fact, as we push into not just the Gospels, but Acts and the letters, we'll find that maybe the strongest and most pervasive image is less Jesus in us and more that we are to be found in him. The phrase in Christ, in him, in Jesus is in the New Testament more than 150 times. It's in there so often that it's really easy to just overlook, just ignore. But maybe it's not there by accident. Frankly, maybe if we understood and lived out of that, it would begin to change everything. Because here's the mistake I think sometimes we make. If Jesus is in me, then I can incorrectly conclude that I'm in charge. I can be whoever I want to be. I can do whatever I want to do. I can treat others however I want to treat others. And he's in there just in case I end up in some trouble. It's like having a backup plan. I can always phone a friend because he's in my heart. Not a bad image, but the conclusion of, and therefore I can do whatever, may be a little bit spurious. But this other image may be so much more helpful and interesting because as Christians, we are to find ourselves in him. We are to live in him. We are to abide in him. And if we are in him, then he's in control. Then he determines a little bit more how we should behave. Then he defines who we are. And so that's the image I want us to explore in this sermon series and then throughout the fall, really. What does it mean to abide in Jesus? What does it mean to be found in Jesus? What does it mean to have union with Jesus? And how does that change how we live? And so we're going to begin this journey exploring that word abide, particularly in the letters of John. Now, if you remember, we've spent the last couple of months working on one of John's other works, the book of Revelation. We're about to get to John's gospel, and in the meantime, we're going to be reading the letters of John, kind of staying on a theme a little bit here. In this fall series, we're going to look at 1st and 2nd John. I'm also going to let you know right now, I'm going to stray from my normal reading of the NIV version of the Bible. And I'm actually going to read the ESV version just for this series, the English Standard Version, only because it translates that Greek word as abide, which is a really old-fashioned word, which is why the NIV moves away from it and just says in, being in or remaining in. But I like that word abide. I like that image of resting in, living in, dwelling in Christ. And I think that might be helpful. So if you would, I would encourage you, invite you as we start this journey to turn in your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John is all the way in the back of your Bible, Revelation, then turn back a page or two, Jude, turn back a page from there, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Not the Gospel of John, which is around Matthew, Mark, and Luke. 1 John. And we'll begin, as always, in the beginning. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. my little children, and I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Amen. By this we may know we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. That's where we're about to go. But let me give you some context first. 1 John is a letter. It's generally thought to be a circular letter in that it was circulated through the churches. And so John wrote it, he sent it to one church, they read it in worship one day, they sent it to the next church, they read it in worship one day, they sent it to the next church, and around it goes. That said, this letter doesn't seem to have the normal introductory parts that we'll see in his other letters and really all the letters of Paul. Normally there's an addressee and an addressor and then a familiar greeting to get us going. John just starts. That said, we do hear an echo right from the beginning of John's gospel as this letter begins. Remember, the gospel of John starts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on from there, which is an echo, of course, of the beginning of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Of course, John was making the point that God was still working in that way, and yet in a new way, in Jesus Christ. In our letter, today we find the same language of in the beginning and the Word. And again, John makes it very clear that the Word is Jesus, and he was there in the beginning because he is the Son, and because he is the Christ, and because he is life. It's almost like this letter functions a little bit like a coda for John's gospel, a more personal conclusion of that much larger work. So in the Gospels, John will say things like, Jesus will say things like, I am the light of the world. And earlier it says of Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In our letter, we have the same imagery, the same idea, but now we are told that not only is God light, but that we also should be people of light, that we should walk in the light, that we shouldn't live in darkness, but we should live righteously and in the truth. Of course, we know we sin. We know at times we live in that darkness, but we also know that Jesus has forgiven and cleansed us. And so we work to stop sinning. We work to live for him. We live in the light. We follow his ways, which in many ways is what it means to be a disciple. To walk in the way Jesus walked, to do what Jesus did, to speak like he spoke, to treat others like he treated others, to love the world like Jesus loved the world, to become more like Jesus. That's what disciples are. That's what disciples do. They strive to follow their teacher, their rabbi, to become more like them. And so as disciples, that's what we do. We try and become more like Jesus. It's not just the direction we're going, but it's the standard to which we aspire toward. We are becoming more like Jesus, which is different from how we normally think of Christianity, the church. The measure isn't, am I a little bit better today than yesterday, just generally speaking. The measure is, am I becoming a little bit more like Jesus today than I was yesterday? Which is why the phrase that stands out to me in this is that chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, by this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. We are in him, and because of that, we need to learn how to walk more like Jesus walked, which is the definition of discipleship. Disciples followed in order to become. And so we follow in order to become, which of course then begs the questions for us, how did Jesus walk, and how might we walk more in that way? Now, obviously, that's a huge question that more than we'll be able to get to today and really in this series, but it's also one that I think would be worth asking as we read the Gospels. How does Jesus respond in this situation? How does he engage in this situation? How does he love in this situation? As we then reflect on our own lives, am I walking in the way he walked? But for now, at least, today at least, John gives us some clues as to how Jesus walked, and maybe more than that, how we might be able to walk like he walked. First, we have fellowship with God by keeping his commandments. Second, we have fellowship with each other, with others, by loving our neighbors. And then third, we walk in the light as he is in the light. Apparently, that's what it looks like to abide in him. So that's what I want us to explore today. We start, of course, with fellowship with God, which Jesus did perfectly. Jesus kept the commandments. Jesus followed after God in love and obedience. And so for us, then, to be his disciples, for us to abide in him, that's what we're called to do. In fact, John goes so far to say that if we know God, we will keep his commandments. Those things go hand in hand. They're connected. Part of what it means to obey the commandments is to know God, and part of what it means to know God is to keep the commandments. And so as we come to know God better, we start to live more like Jesus, and we don't lie, we don't covet, we don't worship anything else but God. Or maybe more to the point, we love the Lord our God with all our hearts and souls and minds and strength. We love our neighbors as ourselves. All these things sound so, so simple. And they are so, so not simple. But that's what abiding looks like. Because, of course, if we are in Jesus, and Jesus is keeping the commandments, and then we would be doing those things too. We start to behave more like he behaved. And so the more and more we can find ourselves in him, the more we will follow not just his ways, but God's ways, fellowship with God. Of course, Jesus didn't just walk in fellowship with God, he also walked in fellowship with others. And as we'll see as we read the Gospels, this way of loving others was radical and revolutionary. Because as we know, and as we'll see, Jesus had fellowship with everyone. Jesus spent time and loved the poor, and Jesus spent time with and loved the rich. Jesus spent time with and loved the religious elite and the heathen Greeks. Jesus spent time with and loved the Romans and with those who hated the Romans, the zealots. Jesus spent time with and loved the disciples and the crowds and the untouchables. And it strikes me that if that's how Jesus lived, then that's how we should be living. I don't know about you, but if I'm being honest, that's not how I live. And that's not how I love. In fact, I would say, if I'm being honest, which I should because of the first point of, you know, commandments and stuff, if I'm being honest, I think I've pretty well shaped my life at this point so I don't even have to encounter the people who aren't already very much like me. But of course, that's in pretty stark contrast to then how Jesus lived. As we open the Gospels, we're going to find that Jesus was going all over the place and encountering all sorts of people that weren't just like him. And he still loved them. Which means that's what we are called to. If I abide in Jesus, then I go where he goes and I love as he loves. So in him, I need to work to love the people that Jesus loved, in the way that Jesus loved, to the extreme that Jesus loved. And notice there's two different parts there. In kind, if there are people or groups that I don't love, then that's something Jesus needs and I need to work on because he does love them. But also in quantity, we're not just called to tolerate those who are different. We're called to love like Jesus loves. And of course, he loved all the way to a cross. This gets hard when we start thinking about the people we don't agree with, the people we don't like, the people who aren't like us, the people who are different or distant. And yet those are the people that Jesus loves, and those are the people that we love. And always remember what I mean by love. It's, I think, what Jesus means by love, the committed choice to sacrifice for someone else's good, which is how Jesus showed his love. Imagine if instead of thinking thoughts and bad-mouthing people who are different or who disagree, imagine if we were to change ourselves more like Jesus, such that we wanted their good. And we're willing to sacrifice for their good. Imagine what that would do in us. I imagine we'd look more like Jesus. Which brings us to the third way that Jesus walked. He walked in the light. And our passage reminds us that we are also to walk in the light as he walks in the light, which of course means that we're walking with God and we're walking with one another, which is what we've been talking about so far. But this metaphor of light is an interesting one. It's all throughout the Gospels. One time Jesus just said it this way, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. At a different time, Jesus said, your eye is the lamp of the body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it's dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. Still another time, he said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I love these different images. Jesus is the light. And then we become the light. In other words, in the same way that Jesus shines his light into the world, we are to shine his light into the world as well. And it's not just that we are a light that happens to be in the world, but it's that we are becoming a light for the world, which becomes a huge responsibility. We are to live in such a way that illuminates how life should be lived, what life should look like, and who God is. Which is why it's so important that our lives don't just look like everyone else's, which is why it's so important that we then are abiding in him, the light, which is what we're going to be talking about this fall. Our faith isn't an add-on to normal life. It's not a Sunday thing. It's not a just-in-case thing. It's a way of living our lives in him. And as we abide in him more and more, we learn to do what he did through him. We learn to speak more like he spoke. We learn to treat others like he treated them. We learn to love as he loves. That's why we'll need to abide in him. So let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you would help us as we begin this journey together, as we strive to understand what it means to live in you, to be in you, to abide in you. We pray that we would wrestle with this image over the next couple of weeks and throughout our life, that we would find ourselves in you, which changes the questions we need to ask, because we are in you. It should change how we treat others. It should change how we behave. It should change how we love. So fill us, Lord, with your presence and help us abide in you. Lord, we pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.